This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. It's Wednesday. Time again to talk about our state's history, and Stateside's Cynthia Canty has you covered.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers very reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
So the 1835 Michigan Constitution says this: the seat of government for this state shall be at Detroit, or at such other place or places as may be prescribed by law until the year 1847, when it shall be permanently located by the legislature. Well, that raises the question, how did Lansing become the capital of Michigan? That happened 170 years ago this month. With us to answer that question, we welcome our partner from the Michigan History Center, Rachel Clark. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
And we want to welcome the Michigan State Capitol historian, Valerie Marvin. Hello, Valerie.
How are you?
You know, going right back to the very beginning, Valerie, why was Detroit chosen as Michigan's very first capital?
Well, Detroit had actually been our territorial capital. 1805 is when the Michigan Territory is created. Detroit's the capital at that point. It was the largest city, certainly, and it was also accessible by water, which was very important in an era when roads are, at best, terrible in most places.
That's got to be the understatement. So most people were kind of gathered right there because it was so accessible.
Yes. And Detroit had a very long history that, of course, goes back to the French period and had always been a place where people had gathered. So it made sense.
Rachel, when I think of just the sheer cost, one might wonder, why would any state move its capital? What was the reasoning here?
The initial reason was Detroit was right on the edge of the state, and no other state had their capital on the edge. Most of them were closer to the center. Plus, Detroit was right across the river from Canada, which in 1835, the War of 1812 was in living memory. And so it was decided when they wrote the Constitution that the capital simply couldn't stay in Detroit, that eventually it should be moved closer to the center of the state.
When you think about it, were there other areas in Michigan under consideration? I mean, look at a map. Mount Pleasant certainly looks to be more of a geographical center than Lansing.
There were quite a few, actually. Initially, they were using the Central Rail Line as their line of options. So towns like Ann Arbor and Jackson and Marshall were some of the early candidates for the new capital. And a gentleman named Enos Goodrich, who was from Tuscola County, he said that as the population moves and increases, you can't use the Central Rail Line as the boundary. You have to go north of that. And so towns like DeWitt and Lansing, and even Copper Harbor at one point, threw their names in as possible locations for the new capital.
So this selection of Lansing, it kind of had to be a compromise, didn't it?
It did. One of the things that Lansing offered was free land and free buildings. The state had gone through some economic problems in the late 1830s and 1840s, and so the choice of building a capital had to come with a very low, if zero, price tag. And so Lansing came in with free land and very, very cheap, if not free, buildings.
Bottom line, always matters. Valerie Marvin, was Lansing even a town at that point?
It was not. There was actually Lansing Township. When the town of Lansing was officially founded, that actually happened in the 1850s, 1859. And the settlement of Lansing, if you will, because it wasn't an official city, actually didn't start off as Lansing. It was originally called Michigan, Michigan, which for some reason did not catch on. And so they actually took the name from the name of the township and started to call it Lansing. But this was also debated in the legislature. In early 1848, they're throwing out all of these names for what this new place is going to be called.
When you stop and think about, here's our capital, Michigan, Michigan. What did the locals do to prepare for welcoming and becoming the state capital?
Well, there weren't a lot of locals in what became Lansing. There were certainly people in the area, and they were very excited. There's a great story from Delhi Township, actually, where a group of people heard that the capital was going to be in Lansing. So they cut down their biggest tree, they hauled it into Lansing, they gave it to the sawyer at the mill, and then everybody had three cheers for the fact that the capital had come. So everybody knew that when the capital came, power, money, investment, railroads, all of that was going to come with it. So it really was a huge boost to what was otherwise a collection of very small rural farming settlements. The key was they had to keep it because nobody was quite sure if they were going to stay in Lansing. Mm-hmm. So they really had to put their best foot forward. And people opened up their homes to accommodate legislators and staff the first session because Lansing didn't even have enough boarding houses and hotels to accommodate everyone.
What did moving the Capitol actually entail, Valerie? I mean, government in the mid-1800s had been a lot smaller than what we have today.
Absolutely, but government still had things. There were papers, there were books, there was furniture. They actually hired people to bring things up, and we know that not everything went terribly well because there was a claim made with the State Board of Auditors by a gentleman named John Keene, who said that he lost a horse in the process. His horse actually expired because of the efforts. And so he wanted the state to give him $75 to replace his horse. And he was actually successful with his claim. They allowed it.
Was there some controversy involving moving library records?
Well, the library books certainly would have been one of the more problematic things to move. The state library was very small compared to what it is today. I mean, we're talking books in one room. But again, it was this effort of bringing everything in. It was tough. Remember, there's no railroad that comes to Lansing. You have plank roads that are being built, certainly, but it's a very tough slog from Detroit.
What was the first Capitol building in Lansing like, Valerie?
It was small and it was very plain. It was a two-story wooden structure. It's about 100 by 60 feet, and it was built to be temporary. That's an important thing to remember. When they came to Lansing, they picked a site for the Capitol we're going to build today and the Capitol we're going to build someday when we have more money and can really make a permanent investment. So this building was always meant to be temporary. It filled up very quickly. By 1854, actually, they have to build a second office building for the state. And with that building, at least, they make sure it's brick. This first one was wooden, which is a huge problem when you talk about the fact that this is where all of the state's records are being kept. And you're living in an era when everything is lit and heated by fire.
don't even think about what that could smell like. When did we get the Capitol building that we know today?
The current Capitol was actually dedicated on January 1st of 1879. It was a six-year construction project, so we broke ground in 1872. And everyone in Lansing breathed a huge sigh of relief the second construction began, because they knew that once the state made this investment, they were not going to pick up and move. And it was an investment. It cost almost $1.5 million. But you have to remember, in the 1870s, Michigan is growing. The state is doing very well, and we want to celebrate what we've accomplished. Our Capitol, in many ways, can be seen as sort of a coming-of-age moment, if you will. And people from all around the state came in to celebrate not only laying the cornerstone, but the dedication of the building itself. It was a proud moment.
Rachel Clark, this is really a reminder, isn't it, that the course of history can just turn on a dime, because we could have easily been talking about the state capitol in DeWitt.
Absolutely. There are towns all over mid-Michigan that threw their hat in the ring, and Lansing was the one that was most centrally located and won the bid.
Rachel Clark of the Michigan History Center and Michigan State Capitol historian Valerie Marvin sharing with us the story behind Michigan's Capitol. It was 170 years ago this month that state lawmakers decided to make the big move from Detroit to Lansing. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.